Welcome to Resiliency Radio with Rick Allen and Lauren Monroe. Interactive radio to empower, educate, and inspire during difficult times. Featuring live interviews with celebrity guests and cutting-edge professionals working in the fields of health, wholeness, and resiliency. This program is brought to you by the Raven Drum Foundation's Veteran Resiliency Project and is dedicated to all our military and their families. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ravendrumfoundation.org. Welcome to Resiliency Radio, everyone. My name is Lauren Monroe, and I'm here with my very English effervescent co-host, Mr. Rick Allen, everyone.
This is getting ready. Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yeah, brilliant. Actually, some of you have been...
They like you.
I know, they do. They like me a lot.
I wonder if they could see you have no shirt on.
No, I know. Not a pretty sight. But yeah, Apparently I say fantastic a lot, and some of you have been counting how many times I say fantastic. Which is fantastic, really. Fan-friggin-tabulous, as I answer to some people. But we've got a special guest, a really special guest. Do you want to tell us something about that, Lauren?
Yeah, well, I sure will. We had the very rare opportunity to have a great interview with Billy Idol right before he left for his tour. And right now I think he's floating around someplace in Europe. So he couldn't be with us live, but we did get a chance to record our interview with him. And it's about resiliency. It's about music, and I think everyone's really going to love it. So we're going to be playing that for you tonight.
Yeah, he's really special. A lot of you know we got to tour with them and with Billy, and I got to get up on stage with him. It was fantastic. And he very insightful. A lot of the things that he's been through, just incredible guy, very resilient, and. To be honest, I was a little bit starstruck.
It was fantastic. I bet. Another thing we're doing tonight is we are going to do our Resiliency Radio live drum circle on the air with you. So after the interview, we'll be taking a break, and then you'll be getting ready and setting up in your own environment to participate with us and to drum and create a sacred space around resiliency for yourself and for the people that you love. So after the break, we'll jump right into that. Also, we do have a chance to win tonight again. We'll be going into the magic sack again.
I will. We're going to give Preston away. I think that's the prize, right? We're giving Preston away.
Our engineer? Maybe next time. I don't know. But this time it's another voice recording.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so if you do win, and for a chance to win, you need to sign up onto the Blog Talk Radio, our page there, and become a friend. And the winner will receive an opportunity to have Rick's voice on their voice message on their cell phone or their home phone. It's to win that, you have to be listening, and you have to contact us through your Blog Talk Radio email right away.
Good.
Tonight.
Fantastic.
And
we'll give Preston away next time.
Yeah, next time.
Okay.
Next time. Another thing, too, is the Raven Drum, the community site.
Yeah.
We have an online community now, much like Facebook, where you can interact with us personally, and it's for members and also for guests. And we'll be doing a lot of group things there that you won't be able to access outside of the online community of Raven Drum. There'll be some videos and bloopers from the show and some lots of cool stuff that that you'll be supporting.
I'm excited. It's good. It's a great way for people to reach out and us to reach out to you also. So that'll be a really nice opportunity. So go support Raven Drum's mission by being the first to join. Sign up at www.ravendrumfoundation.org.
And we'll be there.
We
so,
will?
Yeah. So enjoy this interview. We really did. And when we come back, we'll be jumping into doing some drumming with everyone. So enjoy it.
Fantastic. Hi, Billy.
Yes.
Sorry, we lost you for a second there. We're a little technically challenged over here, but Fantastic.
So well, thanks for being a part of the Resiliency Radio Show. We're really happy to have you on the air with us, and it's a real honor to have you and Rick on the show together, because you know, you both have gone through so much, and you know, it's a huge inspiration for other people.
Well, that's to me, you know, I know this is going to inspire a lot of other people, and really, you know, the more I find out about your story, Billy, the more inspired I become, and I think that's the important part of everything you've been through, is to be able to share just how you keep coming back stronger.
Yes, I suppose I've been lucky though with the accidents or the problems I've had. I've managed to. They were never so bad that they couldn't be corrected. So I always had a lot of hope, and I think, and I have a great job that I always wanted to get back to doing, and so a lot of that would really helped me all the time to have a sort of a positive need to get back to normal, or as near normal as possible. And so I was lucky in some ways, you know, mercifully lucky that that I had a lot to live for, or a lot to get better for all the time, even if it was to get back on stage, or just to be back recording, or even to be able to go forward into the future. I was very lucky because the motorcycle accident I had in 1990, it was bad, but I broke my leg beneath my knee and above my ankle. But of course, that's the best place to break your leg if you're going to break it. And I got broadsided by a car. It was my fault, of course. I was out of my mind on my motorcycle, and I got broadsided by a car. So usually everything I do to myself is all my own fault as well. So I have to live with that a little bit. I had great doctors, and they really gave me hope that it could all be made, put back together. Because when this car broadsided me, it kind of smashed my leg right in the middle, and it left it in three pieces. But it also blew the muscle that was there away, so there was a great big hole in my leg with no muscle. But they were able to move a muscle from behind the from the back of my leg to put it across the shin, so they covered it, and then they were able to put a rod in my leg. And in the end, I had seven operations, but they gave me hope right from the start. And one of the things I found that helped me to heal really well was that I'd started working out before all this, about 1987, 88, because I wanted to ride motorcycles and I needed to be a bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually was working out in my hospital bed, and using weights. I had a broken arm, but I attached weights to the cast, and I could move.
Wow.
I could do upper body, basically. And by doing the upper body, it meant I was moving my blood around my body. And that, the doctor said, the leg doctor said, I was one of the fastest healing patients.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it must have been because I was doing this kind of upper body exercise. Even though I had a smashed leg, I was exercising.
Wow.
So I think that was a huge thing. And since the motorcycle accident, I actually must have contracted hepatitis C around 1985. And I didn't really know what it was that I had till 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And I was starting to feel really bad. You know, I was starting to tell I had some kind of virus because I was sweating, and I could tell I had my thermometer in my body was off.
Right.
And I felt crap.
Right.
And it was gradually taking its toll, kind of stopping me having a positive outlook on life. I felt very negative for a long time. But eventually in 2006, I took interferon and for a year, and it worked.
Fantastic.
And I feel so much better. And since then, I've actually started to do Pilates as a method of exercise. And that really is for people who, it was originally designed for people who had some kind of injury, like which meant they couldn't stand up, mm-hmm. but it meant they could exercise in a hospital bed. So I wish I'd really known about that
wow.
when I had my broken leg,
yeah.
because it's almost like doing physiotherapy, but it's strengthening and lengthening. It lengthens you as well as strengthening. But I think I've been doing that, and I can see how that in itself has been physiotherapy for my leg accident. Even though it happened 20 years ago, it's really helping my leg now.
Fantastic.
And I think that's one of the things about sort of recovery in terms of accidents or diseases. Yeah, it's a fight. You're in a fight, and you've got to use every weapon you can. And I was lucky that I'd already included exercise into my life, because it really has helped me overcome my disabilities. I don't know if I hadn't really been exercising, I don't think I would have overcome them in the way I did.
Right.
That's fantastic. Spoken like a true warrior, really.
I mean, it wasn't much fun. Definitely wasn't any fun, but I think that's it. You have to arm yourself with the things that will help you to recover. If you just stay there in a negative place and don't try things, nothing's going to happen. It's not going to happen quicker. It's not going to happen better. You won't get back to where you want to get to.
Yeah.
And they're simple things, really, but they really helped a lot, I think. Just the fact that I was trying to be in tune with my body and sort of battling what I'd done to myself, basically, through drugs, or through these accidents I've had one way or another.
No, I mean I can relate a lot to it. You know, I was in a similar situation where I tended to take care of my physical self, and I actually got better or started to recover physically really quickly. You know, they said, oh, you're going to be here for a couple of months. I was out of the hospital within like 3.5 weeks.
And you started training yourself in the hospital bed,
but
too.
Interestingly enough, I started training myself in the hospital bed. Mm-hmm. I had this piece of foam at the bottom of the bed, and it was to rest my feet against so that I didn't slide down the bed. And I started tapping my feet on this foam, and realized that all the basic rhythms that I'd ever played, you know, right from being a kid, I could play all the same basic rhythms. So I got my brother to bring the stereo system into my hospital room, and started working out with my feet. And it was fantastic, because I realized that I could actually play all the basic drum rhythms that I'd ever played. And and that was my window of opportunity. I could see myself doing it again, you know, in a situation with the band. So it's interesting how you can take that kind of situation when you feel like you're down and out and you're laying in a hospital bed, how you can really, you know, you can make things work. And that leads me on to something. And not too many people know this about you, Billy, but And to watch the video, you would never have known. What can you tell us about what you were going through during that period?
It's more just my right leg. But, for instance, the great thing was, with Cradle of Love, was that a video director who actually is the director of, like, Benjamin Button now and
all right.
Seven and... Yeah, I can't remember his name just right now. That's one of my problems. But he had a great concept for something where a person didn't have to be in the video that much, because it was this concept of a teenage girl coming to basically a nerd's apartment, and then, you know, putting on a song and then basically seducing him. And then it meant I could be this a picture on the wall. But still, the way that then I really only had to do about 6 hours of work for the video, and really what they did was I was able to sit up, of course, because I could use my left leg, and my right leg was in a cast right up to my hip, I suppose. And basically, they filled me from the waist up, and I was able to sit on something, and then, you know, it didn't look like anything was wrong with me at all. So I really was able to, it was really just through the trickery of this, of the video director's idea, and the fact they didn't need to show me moving around, because I was supposed to be on a picture on the wall or on a television screen.
No, that was it was a cool video. We loved that. The fact
everybody
that,
liked that. I mean, I liked the young girl undressing on the bed and disrobing. So no one thought about me and whether I, what I looked like or anything. It was great.
That's fantastic. But the fact that you were actually doing something, you know, that must have inspired you. You know, you're actually doing something. You're working, and you know, you can obviously see yourself, or you can see the day when you're going to be back on stage again. And I'm sure that,
well, that
all
was it. I actually, when I had my accident in February of 1990, I just finished an album called Charmed Life, which had Cradle of Love on it. So I knew I had an album coming out, and we were going to tour in the summer of 1990, and I had to make two videos, actually, during the time before the tour to back up this album that was going to come out probably in March or April of that year. So that was another thing that meant I had to get better. And so it gave me a lot to get better for, if you see what I mean.
I
because,
do.
I'd done all this work on the record. I didn't want it to be lost. You know, I didn't want it to be spoiled by me being dumb and having this stupid accident that I'd had. And it gave me a hell of a lot to get better for. So I was getting better not only for these videos, but for a tour in the summer, and I made it.
Right.
I was back out on stage, mm-hmm. limping around with a cane, but I made it, and that was, I think that was the point about it all, was that I think we love what we do.
Right, for
sure. I'm sure you, I know you do, Rick. The fact you were sitting there in the hospital bed figuring out how you could play the drums with your feet and how you could make it work, knowing you had the rhythms in your body, just you had to reorganize how they could be played, how they could come out of you.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fantastic to know that there's someone like you who'd already gone through something much bigger than I had to go through, and you'd done it. So you are an inspiration to us all.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think that's what it's all about, is, you know, giving people a spark of inspiration through our own life experiences. And again, that's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm enjoying this time talking to you, because, you know, you go back through, you know, everything that you've been through, and it all points towards, by rights, somebody that should probably just say, well, you know what, I'm done. But you didn't. You know, you continued. And, you know, I saw you recently. I've been on stage with you a few times. And, yes, admittedly, I've seen you without a shirt on. Nothing more than that, mind. But you look fantastic. I mean, physically, you know, I mean, what are you doing other than the Pilates? I mean, you know, is it down to your diet? I know that you're vegetarian. You know, somebody mentioned something about the fact that you swim a lot, but honestly, you look fantastic, better than you did when I saw you back in the Rebel Yell days. That was like early 80s, and it's like every time I see you, it's like you come back stronger, you come back better. So you must be doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Back in 1984, I think when you came on to see me on the Rebel Yell tour, we were both, well, I was definitely a massive drug addict. Or
well, by rights, we shouldn't be here. Neither of us.
We shouldn't, really, no. I mean, I definitely, I don't know how I'm here, really. I'm very lucky. And I think that's another thing. You kind of know, we know lots of people who aren't here.
I know.
And I think we're living for them.
Yeah,
I know Joe Strummer is not here from The Clash. We know Joey Ramone's not here, you know, and I knew them. And you know, like, man, if they were here, they'd be rocking. think there's an element of that.
Absolutely.
That you want to live, because if Joe is up there looking down, he wants to see us rocking.
Yeah, for sure. Or at least somebody doing it, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
We're very fortunate. We're extremely fortunate. And I'm just really happy that I can look at you. I can experience your music. I can talk to you on this level. And to be able to share this and share this with others, I think is gonna have a really major impact on people's lives.
Another thing is, it's just the job we do that we need to be physically, I don't know, we need to be physically in control so that we can produce what we're trying to do. And it's part of our job. And it's that in itself keeps you wanting to, you know, when you get out there, you want to have all your, you know, abilities there. You don't want to get out on the stage and, you know, you haven't got a voice, in my case, or something, or you can't hit those notes. You really want to be able to do that. And a big part of that is how good your body is for you to draw on. And I think that was one of the things that started to make me look into exercise and start wanting to power up my body, really, because I knew it would power my singing, and not only that, probably power my mind, hopefully, and that in itself would power the music. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of looking for an internal power, and I decided to find that through exercise, really, and now one of the things I'm doing, I wish I'd started it years earlier, is the Pilates, because it's actually, for years I thought just women did it, but actually it is a man who thought it up, and there's loads of guys doing it. But it's very much a total body, you know, system, and it's also not straining your body to do it. It's very natural. It's you're moving your own body weight around. That's what I've started to look for, things that are very natural and are unstress-related, if you see what I mean.
I do.
So that you can carry on doing them for the rest of your life, you know, and that you'll be in a similar shape at 70 as I am now. Actually, I'm looking for that. I still want to be rocking at 70. I don't want to be doing a line at 70. That's
right.
What one of my friends said. I went, yeah, I know what you mean. I still want to be doing a line at 70. Although I'm not doing... although I'm not doing blow anymore, but I still want to be able to enjoy life. I think that's what he meant by saying, my producer said that one day, I still want to be doing a line. And I went, you got to love that. You know, it's crazy, but you got to love that. But yeah, I still want to be up there rocking. I still want to be able to sing the songs I love or still enjoy them, still enjoy the rock and roll music that we've loved and that we've gone on to further, I believe. We've gone on to carry it into this new century.
Yeah, for sure.
But you want to go on doing it. We want to be doing it to the best of our ability. So we're always looking for ways. I'm always looking for ways for that to continue. How can I continue going on, and how can I continue enjoying it to the utmost? I don't want to get out there and not be enjoying it. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it, you know.
No, it's fantastic.
Well, you seem like your open-mindedness really led you to things you wouldn't have done before your accident. You probably wouldn't have even thought of doing Pilates or some of the things that you started doing.
That's right, maybe not, because that's right. But the idea of powering yourself up. I've got to admit, that's true. I mean, I have got a bit of an open mind. I'm not stuck on one system as well. I'm not stuck on one system. So I'm always looking, I'm always looking how to cross-train, in fact. Because on stage, you're doing so many different things. You know, you're singing at the same time as running around, as sticking your fist in the air.
Absolutely. And
kissing that chick in the front row, hanging your genitals on somebody's face. I don't know, you're doing all this weird stuff.
No, it's fantastic. So, and that, not only that, traveling from gig to gig and country to country, you know, which is that in itself, the travel is a lot, you know.
Yeah, and you almost really need to be on top of your game just to do that, let alone at the end of the day get on the stage and rock out for 2 hours or whatever it is we do, you know.
Well, I have a question that I want to ask actually to Billy and both you, Rick, and that's geared towards the situation that a vets are in, because they come back and they're obviously very trained to be warriors. They're trained to not to show any pain, and they have real intense emotional armoring. And for the two of you, you know, just being in the rock world and also being idolized to be a badass, especially you, Billy, and you know, larger than life. You know, when you have to ask for help, that's a tough armor to take off. And we see with our vets, it's very difficult when they have a badass reputation for them to say, you know, I'm suffering, I need some help here. And that's not just physical, but emotionally too. You know, getting past the physical is one thing, but then looking at all the emotional trauma and the fear, that's another thing too. So how did you both get past that? I'm really interested. I'm sure our listeners will be too.
Well, let me just lead on a little bit, because I'm thinking back to a time when I never wanted to admit that I needed any help. Mm-hmm. I think it's just part of my personality. And then I remember getting on a plane, you know, after my accident, and I had to travel on my own. And, you know, I realized that there were things that I just couldn't do. So I was actually forced to ask for help.
Right.
And it was the best thing that I did, because I realized that people around me, whether they were total strangers or whatever, they were actually so eager to help and really happy to help that I felt really good about it. It was fantastic. And it was the first time I'd ever actually asked for help.
Right.
You know, so I don't know about you, Billy, but it's always been difficult for me to ask for help. You know, I like to feel like I'm totally independent and, you know, a one-man army, but, you know, it's not always that way. So how did that go for you?
Well, yes, I'm very similar, I think, in lots of ways. You have to be in rock and roll or whatever. You're self-sufficient and you want to believe, you know, it's all about you carrying, you know, it's all on your head sort of thing. So, of course, and then the accident I had with the motorcycle accident, I mean, that was all my fault, or contracting hepatitis C, that's from taking drugs, or, you know, so with the motorcycle accident, I would have had, say, a lot of shame in a way, because I did it to myself. But the people who are helping to make you well, they had such a, as you said, they had such a great, they were so eager to help you, that they drew you through it, as soon as I realized what I'd done to myself, I soon flipped from being upset with myself to I've got to get well. You know, I've got to make myself well. I can't have a negative attitude. I've got to get positive about it. Otherwise, I won't make these deadlines that I kind of had for myself in terms of this record I was putting out, which had a number two single on it. Cradle of Love got to number two.
Wow.
It might have made number one if MC Hammer hadn't been there. With, you can't touch this for forever. I've been always beneath him for about 6 weeks going, God. But anyway, that was the thing. I did have things to get better for. I had a young son and a young daughter as well. And they wanted their dad. And also with the drugs thing, one of the things that you mentioned in the email that you sent me was, you know, what sort of made you want to really, what helped you to get over taking drugs? And it wasn't so much God, or it was really my children, because they were 5 and 4.
Wow.
About the time that I really had one of my last overdoses, about 94 or so, which was in the paper, and, you know, it was just all over the LA news, and I think all over the country news. And there was, I don't know, I just knew my kids were starting to be able to read, and they could understand what the news people were saying.
Yeah.
It was the last thing I really wanted, that they would just think, oh, my, and the people at school be saying to me, your dad's a junkie, or so. I don't know. There's a lot there that I had to live for, really. That's what kind of helped me, that I did have children I was responsible for, and that I knew my own actions were starting to would start to affect them. And I wouldn't want to be the person I am, not have my personality twisted and try to be with little kids. And
so I
was lucky that I had children who I, you know, I had to care about. I had responsibilities, and so lots of ways the feeling that they'd be upset with me made me want to, you know, somehow curtail the drugs. And it took a long time to get away, to get over being such a drug addict. I had periods of dropping off the wagon for years, and I'm sure most people do. And I'm not completely sober or whatever today. Not that I'd ever would be, I don't think. But I'm certainly not on that cocktail of drugs I was on at one time, where I was always on some sort of cocktail, high octane cocktail
right.
of drugs.
Yeah.
Which was fun, but it was also, yeah, I mean, in the end, it was with hepatitis C. I was killing myself.
Right.
By being so dangerous to myself. And I was lucky that it worked. I was lucky it worked. And but
fantastic affirmation for life. I mean, having a moment of clarity through, you know, realizing you know, your kids and their needs. And it's beautiful. I appreciate you sharing that.
You know, and it's true, as far as resiliency, it's not really about recovery, so to speak. It's our ability to bounce back stronger and wiser and, you know, with more insight. And, Billy, you really demonstrate that. You're such an inspiration to people, and especially our warriors that are going to be listening. You know, I'm sure they'll appreciate you sharing the way you've been sharing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
So you have an upcoming tour coming up this summer, right? In June, do you start?
That's right. Actually in Moscow.
Fantastic.
I've never been to.
Oh, you'll love it. It's brilliant. You'll love it. It's very Russian. But you'll love it. It's fantastic. It's an incredible place.
And you
right,
come.
I'm sure I will.
Are you coming to the U.S. too?
Yes, we start playing here in early August. Actually, we start off actually in Los Angeles in the Hollywood Palladium on August the 5th, and then we start going around, I don't know, a number of different places all over the States until through September.
Fantastic.
So about 6 weeks in Europe and about a month and a half in America. I don't think we're playing gigantic places. We are playing quite small places, which is fun for me. I like that. I like being intimate. It's great. You know, it's not. I like playing the big places, but sometimes it's cool being really intimate. A lot of my audience, they love that. They love it when you're really intimate. They really do. That's the other great thing. I really have a fantastic audience out there who really are excited. However long it's been, they're really excited about coming to the shows, and that's huge. It really makes you want to be. Really makes you want to be good for them, you know, because
yeah.
they're so excited. You know, if they were all bored out there or something, I probably wouldn't be half as
right.
wanting to do it, you know.
No,
they really are great people, and they make you want to be your best. It's fantastic.
That's great. That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes I actually get more nervous in a more intimate situation like that where you can see faces as opposed to, you know, sort of this giant... Whatever building, you know.
Yeah.
No. Don't start.
No, but, like, it was great doing. I loved doing those gigs with you last year or the year before. And it was fantastic. And I love playing. I love it when it changes up. I love it when sometimes you're playing a small place and then the next day it's a huge place. You know, it's sort of, I love it when it's kind of a, you know, it's a smorgasbord of venues, really.
No, it's great.
I think it helps too.
No, it does. It you know, it shakes things up for sure. It's never a dull moment when you're out there, and you know, there's different sized venues, different folks. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's just seeing people so enjoying the music that you've made. That is such a thrill. I don't know if I'm sure there's. That's one of the things that makes you love rock and roll. It's really beautiful.
That's brilliant, man. We want to thank you very much for being part of this and sharing part of yourself and you know, how you keep coming back bigger and better. And
we'll see you at your show in L.A.
Yeah, we'll be there, man.
I could just say to all the vets out there, I just want to thank them for what they've done, for all the sacrifices they've made. And I hope if this helps them in any way, I really wish them the best.
That will go a long way.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Billy. And we'll look forward to speak with you soon, okay?
Thanks, Rick. Thank you, Lauren.
Take good care.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay. All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back, everyone. So, we hope you enjoyed that interview with Billy. Really inspired us to talk with him and share his experience. Now we are in front of our drums, and we hope that you all are in your place, ready to drum with us. So, in the spirit of resiliency, we're going to be drumming together. And before we start, I just want everyone to take a comfortable position and ground yourself. Let's take a deep breath. And we're going to be continuing breathing in a very conscious way throughout the drum circle, with our intentions really clear on bringing resiliency into our life. And honoring not only the positive things, the things we are grateful for, but also honoring the dark spaces that we have in our hearts, the heaviness that we may have in our hearts, because they're there to teach us. And they're there to heal us as we become more awakened to them. So take a deep breath in through the top of your head. Exhale out deeply and relax into your body and allowing your bones to actually drop. Allowing the chair to hold you up, the floor to hold you up. And bring your awareness to this very moment, allowing thoughts to pass through. And when you find yourself clinging to a thought or a worry, allow it to flow through like water. And throughout this drum circle, anytime you have those thoughts, just bring yourself back to the breath and back to the drum. And just know that in this moment, we're all connecting our hearts together so that we can fulfill our intention of resiliency, so we can form a bond together as we heal. And we continue on the journey of life together. And just at this time, let's send our hearts and our intentions out to fathers for this Father's Day. And also to Billy Idol, in gratitude, and send our love and healing to him. So take a deep breath in, and on the exhale, let's begin. needed to breathe. Into your heart. Feel your feet on the ground. Remember our intention. See the words. Feel the meaning, whatever it is to you. Feel it in your heart. Breathe deep. Visualize us all connected. Take in the silence. Let's all be in a place of gratitude, of hope. And relax your body and slowly start to move. Come back into the moment with all of us again in this waking world here. Come on back, Rick.
Is it getting hot in here? Or
yeah.
Yeah, I'm just falling over the...
I really felt everybody with us just now, and I got a chance to peek at some of you that were on the chat. So I knew your names, I knew who you were, that you were listening, and I was thinking about you, we both were. So this is our way to share this gift with you all. And every time we do this, we just strengthen this dimension of healing that's invisible but very powerful. And when we bring other people into our intention and we send it out to them, they're also receiving the benefits. And we have to know that without a doubt, that our work it affects many people just by setting the intention. And so, thank you.
Yeah, it's great. It's a two-way street. It affects us deeply. You know, we feel really, really good that we can share this, and you know, the energy that comes back to us is just, you know, we feel fantastic after this.
Mm-hmm. We really feel everybody in the room here with us. It's quite an experience. So, thank you for all for being with us.
Thank you very much.
We do have a chance to win right now coming up. So. I think it is that time, so...
Do I have to reach into the magic sack
again?
Did
you have it? Is there? You got it?
The sack is full.
Okay. All right, it's that time, so... Here we go.
Hey!
Hey, how can you be doing that while you're supposed to be...
I'm sorry, I'm trying to reach into the sack with my feet.
I don't know if I can read this.
Let me put the lights up.
Oh, yeah. All right.
There's a bit of mood lighting going on in here.
What? PJ Euphoria? PJ Euphoria, you won something last time? I don't know if we're allowed to do this, though. You can't. I don't know if you can win twice, PJ.
Does that mean I'm going to have to make two phone calls?
She won the last voice message. PJ, we're going to have to ask you to step down. When we'll remember this. We'll remember you fondly.
No, we're going to have to call Jennifer on this one.
Yeah, we'll have to have somebody someone in the upper, you know, dimensions.
No, we'll have to get in touch with a grown-up.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to have to pick Come on, Rick.
Okay, Preston, I've got it. Here we go. PJ Euphoria.
No.
So, they're all PJ Euphoria. Who's been messing with my sack?
Satin 420. Yes. Oh, I said it too soon. Sorry, we're out of... Sack the drummer. Satin 420, I know you're listening. You are listening, so please contact us so you can win this great prize of Rick's very authentic English accent.
Yeah, it'll be me.
On your phone.
For sure.
On your phone. So looking forward to that. I hope you enjoy it.
Okay, put the sack down.
So we look forward to seeing you all on the Raven Drum community site. And, do we have time for a call? I don't think we do tonight. One, maybe? Do we have time for one? Okay. I think we're going to bring someone on. Let's see.
Just amuse yourselves.
We have things. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Just amuse yourselves.
I'm so spacey from the drum circle. We have Cindy from Jacksonville on the line. Let me pull her up. Cindy, you there?
Yes, I am. Oh, my God. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Cindy?
Oh, my God. I have been a fan for so long, my whole year, practically my whole life. This is so exciting for me.
That's great. That's great. What's your question?
Well, it wasn't really a question. I just wanted to thank you both. I've had, for the past 3 years, the worst insomnia and anxiety problems. I have so many things going on in my life. I went back to school, and I could never sleep. And I just don't like to take the medication. I just don't think it's good for me. So just keeping in touch with what you're doing and downloading Lauren's music, and I put it on my Zoom, and the oneness chant just puts me to sleep every night. And you had commented on a tweet back to me that, you know, I had to breathe right, and it's helped tremendously.
That's great.
I just cannot believe.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
That's great. I mean, it does. Yeah, it does the same for me. I mean, I put that music on and I just go into just the most incredible place. So thank you for that, and thank you for, you know, appreciating the music.
Thank you so much.
The music is beautiful, and the recipes have changed my whole diet and have gone almost completely organic. And follow your recipes, and it's made just a tremendous difference. Not only my health, but my family's health. My husband's finally joined in. My crazy diet, he says, but it's just made such a difference in my life. And you guys, both of you, are just the way you give back to everyone. I thank you. It's just amazing to see someone that has been around for as long as you have and do everything you do, but this is like a personal thing for you. And it's amazing, and I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, the music has helped me with my sleep. It's beautiful, and it's just, I'm sleeping, I'm eating better, everything. And it's, you know, a big part of what you guys have done, is, you know, with your radio and the Raven Foundation. And, you know, I've got my Sticklick shirt. I've got everything. So
that's great. Yeah. That's great.
Oh, we really appreciate you.
Just ordered my pink one, yes.
That's,
oh,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you just became an inspiration to everybody else now. That's fantastic.
Well, we do appreciate you calling, and it's not just about questions. It is about sharing your experiences and your success, and I think, you know, we wish you the best in continuing, you know, living a healthy life and sleeping, and I do know what it's like not to be able to sleep, and so any way we can help with that, we're happy to.
And I passed it along. I let everyone know, okay, you have to go here and download this music, and I told my sister about it, and she thought I was crazy, and now she can't sleep without it, so.
That's great. That's great.
Like, oh my God, this is really great. I said, it's so relaxing. I would never, because I used to listen to the storms, you know, down to the rain and things, and I just couldn't get there. And there's something about the, I don't know if it's your voice or just, you know, the whole combination of it. It's amazing.
Good.
And I just thank you so much for sharing and tweeting back to people. I mean, that means so much to your. I know, as a fan myself, it just means so much to, you know, go, oh, my God, Rick Allen tweeted me today. Holy cow.
No,
well,
no,
we'll continue to do that.
Yeah, we will actually continue. I could do with two thumbs. That's the only thing.
We actually only have about 2 minutes left before we go off the air. So we just want to thank you again, Cindy, and thanks everyone else for listening tonight. I'm going to hang up with you. So goodbye, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Cindy.
So good to talk to you. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
All right, and you too.
We have one last thing before we sign off.
We're going to end tonight's show with a special uplifting narration by James Charles Vincent Cugino. He's a messenger of resiliency and love. And he's actually Lauren's father.
Hooray.
So best wishes to all fathers listening. Thanks for being with us. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Hail Silver, the Lone Ranger. A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hail Silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early West. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver! The Lone Ranger rides again! Come on, Silver! Up, big fellow! Hail, Silver! Away!